I have to go back two verses to acquaint you with the situation. Two verses in chapter 5. You know the story of Belshazzar. Well, verse 30, and that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom. Darius became the king, being 62 years old. Now, chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120 princes, three presidents, of whom Daniel was the chief. Daniel was the first president, right under the king. That the princes might give accounts unto them, the three presidents, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and above the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were jealous, envious of this man Daniel. But they could find none occasion, no fault, for as much as he was a faithful man, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And then said these men, these two presidents and 120 leaders, they said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We're not going to be able to find anything wrong with the way he does business. We're going to have to find something pertaining to his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. They went to the king, and they said to the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, except of you, O king, he'll be cast into the den of lions. Now, these men knew Daniel believed God. They knew Daniel prayed. They knew Daniel worshiped the living God, and he prayed every day. And so they went to the king, and they said, now, we want to honor you. This was not to honor the king. This was to get Daniel, because they knew he wasn't going to quit praying. So they said, we're going to honor you. And you make a law, just 30 days, that no one in the kingdom ask anything of a god or a man. No petitions, no requests, except to you. Well, he never thought. Darius, full of pride himself and haughtiness, well, yeah, that sounded good to him. All right, verse 8. Now, if a fellow does ask a petition of a god or a man, we cast him into the lion's den. Now, O king, verse 8. Establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. Now, that's very important, that statement. Can't change it. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Only the king could make a law and sign it into effect. And once he signed it, it could not be changed. That was the law, the Medes and Persians. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he got wind of it. He knew what they were doing. He went right to his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem, towards the temple, towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and he prayed. Gave thanks before God as he did before time. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication, petition before his God. So they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And they said, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, That's so. I signed it according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed. Well, they had Daniel now. They answered, then answered they and said before the king, Daniel, your favored one, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. He has no respect for you, nor the decree that you signed, but he makes his petition three times a day to his God. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. What a fool he had been. He didn't see through their scheme. But, now watch, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun all day long. He walked the floor. He paced the floor. How am I going to deliver Daniel and be true to my law? And he found no answer. Then these men assembled again unto the king, and they said to him, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes and signs can be changed. Can't change it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said to Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver thee. He'll deliver thee. Nothing too hard for him. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, the lion's den. The king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The law was the law. Daniel broke it. He's in the lion's den. No change. Then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. A troubled man. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions, himself in person. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the mouths, the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I've done thee no harm. I've done thee no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for Daniel, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came to the bottom of the den. Why do you suppose that nearly an entire chapter in God's Word is devoted to this event in the life of Daniel? Almost an entire chapter. It's a popular story. I imagine you could walk out on the street tonight and just stop just about anybody and ask him, have you ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard about Daniel in the lion's den. Almost everybody has. But yet few people. Very few people. Very few preachers can give you a picture of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ our Lord from that writing right there. Very few. Or tell you why that story is there. Now, I know this. The Scripture is bifocal. There's a primary reason for this Scripture. And there's plenty of applied reasons. In other words, I know this does reveal the faithfulness and dedication of a true servant of God. Daniel believed God. And Daniel would not compromise that faith even if it cost him his life. That's an example for you and me. You know, when they cast the disciples in prison and God delivered them, and these magistrates told them, said, now you quit preaching in that name, or we're going to put you back in prison. And Peter said, whether it be right to fear you or God, you decide. Whether it be right to listen to you or listen to God, you decide. We can't help but preach what we've seen and heard. And that's what we see here. We see a faithful servant of God who believed God, willing to be killed before he had compromised his faith in God. And then the second thing I see here, it also reveals this, that a believer, now get this, a believer can occupy a place of prominence and leadership in his community and still be true to his convictions and his principles. Oh, yes. I hear people say, well, a true Christian couldn't serve in a place of leadership. Think Daniel was a Christian. Ah, a true Christian, he couldn't serve in a place of leadership and prominence and all in a community. Daniel did. Yes, sir. I believe a man can serve wherever God puts him. And be true to his convictions, and true to his principles, and true to his faith. A true Christian will. He'll stand, having done all, he'll still stand. And he'll gain respect from people whom he leads. They respect him. They did Daniel. And then thirdly, I see this. I see in this story, and this is what is usually preached as the main point, if a man preaches from this chapter, reveals the power of God to deliver his people out of the most difficult trials and the most difficult troubles. Is anything too hard for God? You know, he said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. And my friends, it is. Whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, whatever the danger, God reigns and God rules. Now, we'll go out Saturday morning, get on an airplane and fly to Charlotte and change planes and fly to Houston. We're going to get on a Guatemalan airline. Last time I got on one of those, had a cracked window, Richard. But I tell you this, God can keep you on a Guatemalan airline just as well as he can a United airline. God's on the throne. I think you flew that plane too, didn't you, Brother Ballard, with a cracked window. Our God reigns. Daniel, your God is able to deliver you. Even that old king knew that. Don could tell us a little bit about that tonight. Don McGinnis took his airplane down to Cincinnati a few weeks ago. Had a load of men there with him, got in that airplane. And Don's flown a lot. Don used to be a crop duster. Nobody knows that, but he used to be one of those crazy fellas that flies down over a cornfield and sprays it, you know. You got to be weak upstairs to do that. Isn't that right? But anyway, they started to take off in Cincinnati and got about 10 feet off the ground. And that airplane almost came apart. And by God's grace, they circled and brought the thing down. Rented a car and drove home. You're thankful, aren't you? Our God's able. Now, see, my first cousin got in a plane like that, going on a hunting trip. He and several of his fellas, and the plane did that, and they crashed, and they're dead. But God's on the throne. God's on the throne. And that, see, I see that all the way. The most difficult places and trials, he's able. He's able. But what did the master say about the Old Testament? I want you to go to, hold that place there now and go to Luke 24. This, you see, this Old Testament is the Scriptures. This is the Scriptures. And the Scriptures bear witness of Christ. And when you have these stories, when you have these parables, when you have these pictures, when you have these types, when you have all these things, learn the message, learn the meaning, but learn Christ from these pictures. That's what he said in Luke 24, verse 27. Listen. And beginning at Moses, that's the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And all the prophets, is Daniel a prophet? In all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what the Scriptures concerning Christ Jesus. Look at verse 44, Luke 24, 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, both major and minor, in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm opening the Scriptures. Daniel was a prophet. And to him give all the prophets witness. All of them without exception. Daniel included. Christ is in this picture. Christ is here. And I'm going to show it to you. But now you must remember, please remember, that no type, please remember this, no type, no picture, no parable, no pattern can fully, accurately picture the person and work of Christ, because no human being can mirror the Son of God. You know, the priests were types of Christ. Weren't the priests types of Christ? No question about it. Aaron was a type and picture of Christ, but a very imperfect picture. Aaron was a man, Christ the God-man. The priests were many, Christ was one. They had a temporary office, his was eternal. They died, he lived. They offered many sacrifices, he won. They offered animal blood, he his own blood. They ministered on earth, he ministered in heaven. Their work was totally ineffectual, his was effectual. So, the priests were very poor types of Christ, but they were pictures. We need pictures. I was preaching one time, and I used a story about Abraham Lincoln. I don't know whether it's true or not. They say it's true, but everything they tell on him really happened. He had a long life. But I told this story about Lincoln and his son, Tad. I'd heard the story years ago, but Lincoln was sitting in the White House, and there was a soldier out there on the White House grounds that just had to see Mr. Lincoln. He was under some kind of judgment or some kind of indictment, and only the president could free him. Only the president could set him free. But they wouldn't let him in. He'd lost all his papers and all these things. He couldn't get in. Tried to tell them, they wouldn't let him in. Of course they wouldn't. And a little boy came up to him and said, why are you so sad? And he said, I need to see the president, but I can't get in. Nobody can get me in. He said, I can get you in. If you want to see my daddy, you follow me. He took him by the hand, just a little young Tad, and he walked right by the guards into the office of the president. And the man sat down and told him his story. And I use that as an illustration, Lincoln as God, the boy is the Son of God who took me to see the Father. He brought me to God, Christ did. Well, boy, when I got through that message, a fella met me, I hardly got off the pulpit. He met me. His veins standing out, his fist doubled up. He was mad. And he said, I'll never come here you again. Well, I wasn't going to quit just because he wasn't going to come back. But I said, well, why? He said, you used Lincoln as a type of God. He said the man didn't even claim to believe in Christ. And on and on and on. You'll never guess where I was preaching, could you? Way down south. In the 60s. Should have known better. But no picture is a perfect picture of Christ or the Father. But I'm going to use Darius as a picture of the Father. Yeah, I certainly am. Now, here's the story. You heard me read. Daniel was a faithful, preferred servant of King Darius. He loved him. Loved him very much. Exalted and elevated him above all the people. And the other leaders were jealous of him. Oh, they hated Daniel. They hated the king's love for Daniel. And so they came to the king and persuaded him to make a very foolish law. The king wasn't thinking, but they persuaded him to make a foolish law and sign it into effect immediately, that if anybody asked anything of a man or a god except the king for 30 days, throw him in the lion's den. Well, he signed it. He signed it. And the law was established, and it says in here it could not be changed. It could not be changed. Three times it could not be changed when the king signed it is a law. Well, Daniel's going to pray. And so they knew he would. So they found him praying, and they went and told the king that Daniel was praying, talking to his God. And the king, oh my, he was displeased, heartbroken, but nothing he could do about it. So he cast Daniel in the lion's den. Now, Darius, King Darius, must serve as a type of our eternal God in this picture. He's a poor type, that's what I told you, but so is every other human. Daniel is a type of his elect, his beloved people, you and me. Daniel is a type of us folks right here. Darius is a picture of God. Now, Darius made a law. He made a law. And that law was made to honor himself, but it sprang out of foolishness. But our God has made a law. His word, his laws, the laws of his kingdom, the rules and ways and commandments of his kingdom. But all of them are born of his holiness. They're all born of his holiness. They're good laws. Darius' law was a bad law, but it was a law, Bob. God's laws are good laws. They're for our happiness and our holiness. Darius' law was a foolish law. It served no good cause. But God's law is good law, and his word is perfect and holy, being the very foundation of his kingdom, and is for our eternal good and our happiness. God's word, my word, is established in my holiness. Well, only the king could sign a law into effect, and when it was signed, it couldn't be changed. And I'll tell you this, God's laws are unchangeable. They're signed, they're given and signed by the king. They cannot change. Cannot change. And he says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. You know what it said? Well, Daniel broke Darius' law. The reason had nothing to do with it. The fact is, he broke it. Daniel knew what he was doing, and he broke that law. And it cannot be changed, and so Daniel has to suffer. And I'm telling you this, God's laws are good and holy and perfect and born of his holiness and given to honor him and for our holiness and our happiness, but we have broken God's law. Broken all of them to offend in one point is to be guilty of all the law of God. And we did it willingly, and we did it deliberately. And the scripture says the soul that sinneth, it'll have to die. And we're in the same position Daniel is. Daniel knew the law, and Daniel broke it. And Daniel's under condemnation. He's under judgment. Our king's laws, we know them. We've heard them, and we've broken them. And we're under his judgment and his condemnation, and it cannot be changed. Believe me, it cannot be changed. I know, as I was telling somebody before the service, I talked to a funeral director one time in Catlettsburg. I was up there preaching a funeral, and he stood there, and he said, you know why I don't have any respect for preachers? I said, why? He said, well, I've been in this business for years and years and years and years and years. And he said, you know, I've never buried a lost man. He said, everybody I bring in here and embalm and put them in a coffin, some preacher stands over and preaches them right into heaven. He said, that's why I don't have any use for preachers. They lie. I said, you're right. And I'll tell you this, we can use all the emotionalism and sentimentality we want to, but if you've broken God's law, you're going to die. Now write her down. There's no way around. That's just it. It can't be changed. Well, here's the main point. Look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, he loved Daniel, didn't he? His heart was set on Daniel. He was displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now, the king was powerless to deliver Daniel. Do you know the question he was laboring with? Now, you see this king arise as he paced the floor that day. To the going down of the sun, he paced the floor. What was on his mind? I love Daniel, but I signed that law. Daniel broke that law. I wish I could deliver him. But if I deliver Daniel, I'm no longer king. If I deliver Daniel, I got to deliver every criminal in the realm. If I let a man go that broke this law, I got to let a man go that broke that law. My law's gone. My kingdom's gone. My respect's gone. My honor's gone. Everything's gone. But I love Daniel. He just went round and round with that. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? He found no answer. How can I be just? How can I enforce my law? How can I let my law stand, my word stand, my truth stand, and set this man free that I love? And he came to this conclusion. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. And I'm telling you this, God is holy, just, and righteous. His law is true and holy and cannot be changed. We've broken it. God loves His elect. We don't know what love is till we know the love of God. Herein is love. Not that we loved Him. He loved us. And God's mercy and God's pity and God's grace and God's love wanted to deliver His people. But how is God going to be just and justify them? You've broken the law. How is God? King Darius had a problem. He had a dilemma. And he couldn't solve it. But my God can solve it. All things are possible with God. God can solve this thing. God can solve this thing. Old Job says, how can man be justified that's born of a woman? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can God be just and justified? God can solve it. And God, I don't know how to say this or explain it, but there was a meeting in eternity of the attributes of God to discuss this issue right here. How can man be just with God? How can God be God, just, holy, righteous, and manifest His love, compassion, and kindness? How can His law stand and be honored and magnified? How can man be dealt with in judgment and wrath and at the same time be accepted in love and mercy? How can the guilty become not guilty? How can the guilty become innocent? How can the wretched unclean become justified and holy? How? You know? Find out how that can be done, you learn the gospel. So God's truth says, well, if man's delivered by a man, he'll have to be a man. Whoever delivers the sinner is going to have to be a man. Because the law is binding on men. Righteousness says you'll have to be a perfect man. Holiness says you'll have to magnify and honor the law, but justice says you'll have to die. And love says you'll have to do it willingly. Where can such a one be found? Who can love God with all his mind, soul, and strength? Where can such a one be found who can love his enemy as himself? Really, honestly, willingly. Who can die and yet live? Where can one be found who can come to earth and yet never leave the bosom of the Father? Where can one be found who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet one of them numbered with them? Where can one be found who can be in the form of God, equal with God, able to satisfy, magnify, and honor the law, and yet take upon himself the form of a servant and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Where can one be found who can meet every jot and tittle of the law head on and never entertain a thought of sin and always please the Father? Where can one be found who can take the full force of God's wrath for all God's elect and yet not perish? Where can one be found who can be laid dead in a tomb and 3 days later walk out under his own power? Where can one be found who can then ascend to heaven in the form of a man and have such glory and acceptance that he can sit down on the right hand of God Almighty? Find him, and you found the ransom. Find him, and you found the solution. Find him, and you found the way that God can set old Daniel free, and old Richard and Jim and Chuck and B and Pat, all the rest of you. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty as homemade sin, they used to say in Alabama, whatever that means. Guilty as homemade sin. Under condemnation of the law and set and headed hell-bent for the lion's den. Rightfully so. And yet God, out of his love and mercy, sent his son down here and took our place. Took our place. He could do it because he's God. And he could do it because he's a man. And the law got no charge against me now. I can walk right by the lion's den and not be afraid. That's right. Walk right by the lion's den and say, that place has no fear, holds no fear for me. I've already been there and come out. I can walk right by the king's palace, whose decree I broke, without any fear, because he's reconciled. And I'm set free. Is that it? That's what that's teaching. Darius' dilemma. Can your God deliver you? Can thy God deliver thee? Well, the God of heaven can, because he, by his grace, has made a way through Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. All right. Let's sing a hymn, Brother Mike.